Welcome to Everyday Drinkers, episode 17. This episode, we're going to cover sake. As we've always said, respect the laws, drink responsibly, even if it's sake. I'm your host, Derek Shomer. What?
That we're going to make Hummer sake?
Hummer sake. I don't know. No. That doesn't sound good.
Okay. That kind of sounds weird. It's like, how did you make that?
I don't know.
Do you like put it in your mouth and go,
What the fuck are you talking about? How much sake have you been drinking?
Not unlike other Hummers. If you
All right.
Come on, I'm just trying to start out the podcast right.
Oh, you did a really great job. I'm your host, Derek Shomer, and I have with me...
It was that or a quick reference to tentacle porn?
Don't worry. Oh, well, hold on. Let me finish this, and I'll tell you about the tentacle porn. Well, not that specifically, but I'm your host, Derek Shomer, and we have with me today Doug from North Carolina, Dave from Massachusetts, Kate from Massachusetts. We all have ourselves some sake. Sake was suggested from Eric. He was a write-in that he's one of our listeners that said it would be kind of cool to cover a little sake, get our opinions on sake. Eric was living in Japan as a student for a while, so he's learned a lot about sake, so no doubt we won't teach him anything here. In fact, I'm sure he could probably teach us a lot more, and we're going to look like retards by the time we're done. But it's a first experience. I don't know if everybody here has had sake before. We'll get to that. I know I haven't until tonight. But I figured we should probably do a little bit of research, get some sake, see what we think.
Really, he suggested it because, I mean, we can barely speak English, so the idea of us throwing about a bunch of Japanese terms, it's going to be bad. We're going to sound awful.
It's going to be funny.
I wouldn't call it awful. I would just call it different. Or maybe the same. It really all depends on your point of view. So I thought I'd cover this just because you guys are all here. I just posted the last episode, number 16. Luke got busy. He's doing some contract jobs. So I sent him a message on like Monday. I'm like, hey, dude, how's that episode? We're like 3 weeks now and we should have had it out last week. He's like, oh, I haven't got to it yet. I'm like, oh, fuck, that's a huge long episode, 2.5 hours. So today and yesterday, yeah. Well, it turned out to be 1 hour and 58 when I was done with the outtakes. So I just edited it all up, and I say it like I did it quickly, but it took a long time. And I got it done maybe 1 hour ago. So I've been hearing you guys for about 2 days now.
You know you hear my voice going to bed every night.
Yes, and after listening to the episode, oh my God. I think Dave takes the record for the amount of derailments ever.
That's awesome to know that it's not me.
It was an immense amount of... It was to the point where...
Just the words?
Well, wait a sec. Yeah, Doug's probably the one who gets derailed. But,
oh, yeah.
But
well, no, just the way...
Dave actually does the derailing.
Yes. He hits the train off the track real quick. And yeah. He does it so efficiently that to the point where when I was editing it, I was probably 3 minutes in and I'm like, we're not even talking about the subject. So I had to actually go back 3 minutes, figure out where he derailed it, cut it, find out where it stopped being derailed, cut it, move it, and slide it to the end.
It's so, like, remember when we were kids? Do you remember the twist of plot books?
What?
It's no. A little bit like that.
When were you? Remember, I know you grew up in a white trash family. You told me that. I remember from last episode because I just said it. You're like,
I hope Dave's family doesn't listen to this.
Dude, three.
No, they don't have computers.
Dude, three times. It was his reference to how he grew up, like, basically like Kid Rock. That was hilarious. So
really, because, you know, I thought I remembered that episode as being like fairly, I don't know. I thought we were pretty straight on that one.
It was a lot of information. Yeah, there was a lot of information, no doubt. But there were some derailments that went on for 5 minutes at a time.
The problem is I have the attention span of like a rabid ferret. So yeah. I have to amuse myself somehow. And it's usually by bringing up something random.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And don't worry, the tentacle porn is in the outtakes.
Sweet.
Yeah. Anyway, back on to get rid of that derailment for a minute. So what we did is, this is where the trick comes in. Normally, I think we're all adept at something about buying beer. Like, even if it comes down to the brands, the styles, ales, lagers, pilsners, everybody here is well-versed in alcohol. This is something completely new to me, and I think to a couple of us, where to the point where I can't even tell the difference between a brand in a style. So,
oh, totally.
It was sort of like I went off the notes that Eric had sent and said, these are some good brands to look at. I did get one of those. The other problem is, since it's not as big here as it is in Japan, a lot of those brands don't make it over the little pond. So we get what we get. I had to go to the liquor store in New Hampshire to be able to get sake. You can't get it, I guess, anywhere else, or maybe you can. It's like wine. Wherever you get wine, maybe. I didn't really check too hard at the grocery store. Let's go through the lineup. We could talk a little bit about what we got and the differences, and you know, we'll do the thing where we actually drink them and review them as we're going through the information that we found on sake. That way, we're all blasted before we get through. Doug, tell me a little about your sake.
Is specifically which ones I chose?
Yeah. Just a little about, like what are they, maybe the prices.
If we want to do this right,
yes,
you need the meter. During the podcast, at any point, any of us can say, kanpai.
Yes! I so knew your advice. Like, kanpai!
So if somebody says kanpai, everybody drinks. This is how it works.
You guys are getting wasted.
Why
That's
is
awesome.
This?
To be clear?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
What is the meaning of it anyway?
It's like cheers, basically, but bottoms up, you know, something like that.
Bottoms up, okay.
But you start to, when you're out with a bunch of Japanese businessmen, when you start hearing that after the 800th time or something, it gets a little bit old.
Well, I don't think we need to say it 800 times because we'll all be unconscious. So, Doug, what do you got?
It's not drinking itself.
Doug, what do you got for sake this episode? Sake man?
Okay, I picked up three. To be consumed at three different temperatures. For the hot sake, I picked up the...
note the pause before we say everything, by the way. And the big sigh, like, oh, fuck, this is going to be bad.
Gaikikan? Gaikikan? Gaikikan.
Gekikan.
Gekikan.
Sake. Rock on, whatever, 15.6 BBA or ABB. 750 mil bottle.
Holy crap.
So that was so hot. For the room temperature one, I got the Shochikubai.
It's like
4chan, but for real. This was a 300 mil 15 ABV. And then for my cold one, which is really cold because I had it in the freezer, I think Dave has this one too, which I was thrilled that someone else had this. The Momokawa. Junmai Jinjo Nigori.
Genshu. God. Is it Genshu?
Genshu Sake. Shake well. 18% ABV. Rock on.
18%. That's hardcore.
And we should mention that one is actually from Oregon.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. I specifically tried not to get the Oregon ones because...
Why?
Oh, yeah. Forest Grove, Oregon. Well, because I wanted to try to stay, you know.
Yeah. It's a good cross section. Now you know you've got them from where they come from and from Oregon. That's not too bad.
Right.
Yeah, you can compare it.
Now, unlike Doug, I went fully imported only because, well, I just happened not to pick up any from Oregon. I got a Nigori.
Oregon like some kind of hotbed of sake activity something? Or?
I think it
must be.
I think they probably have a lot of areas where brown rice grows good. I don't know. So the Nigori Gaikikan that I have is, so Nigori we'll talk about later, is something to do with the filter to the cloudiness, I believe. That one I bought it's $4.99. So I didn't do hot, cold, room temperature. What I did is price, because I couldn't tell which ones necessarily should be hot, cold, or room temperature. So, which is sad, but I got this one. This is $4.99. I have Raihaku Nigori Dreamy Clouds. And that one is $13.99. That's a 300 mil. The other one is also a 300 mil. And then my 750 mil is $21.99. It's Tozai, I'm going to guess. Well of Wisdom. This is Ginjo? Is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
Ginjo sake?
Sure.
Which is a pure, more pure sake. So
You're asking like we have any clue whatsoever. Yeah, sure. This sounds great.
That sounds great, right? I'm a big fan of Ginjo, so I'm going to go with Ginjo. So and that one's 21. Although it's 750 milliliters, it might be comparable to Dreamy Clouds. Dreamy Clouds might actually end up being more. I can't do math enough to do the... Because 720 doesn't really divide evenly into 300 mil. I couldn't... I didn't do a per dollar per mil, so I don't know if it's more expensive than the 300 mil or not. But, you know, they're all kind of all over there. And the $4.99, I didn't know if it was going to be good or not. It says serve chilled, right? And the trick is, if they're cold, then they shouldn't be... They shouldn't have a lot of impurities, or else it would taste like ass. So I'm guessing $4.99 served chilled means it's good sake. I don't know. What do you got, Dave?
I want to hear your...
I've got two. I've got the one that Doug already mentioned, the Momokawa Pearl, which is a Nigori. And I did a really pretty scientific method to figure out which sakes to buy. It was something like eeny, meeny, miny, moe. I basically just grabbed a couple bottles that looked good. The second one is Kikusui Junmai Ginjo, which is also known as chrysanthemum water. And yeah, basically I wanted to pick out a sweet one and a dry one. So the pearl one is the sweet one, which is unfiltered, and the other one is a dry filtered.
Dry filtered. That means it was made with sand. No, I don't really know.
That's right. And they were about the same price. I mean, they're about $14 a piece.
Sweet.
But
but one's only 300 milliliters.
Right. One's half the size of the other. So
they're not the same price. They're buoyancy. Wait, no. Specific gravity. Sorry, I was editing the last one. So
Displacement.
Kate.
I did sort of what you did. I kind of tried to get two different prices just to compare if the one was that much better than the other. And they're both about $18, but one was 300 milliliters and one was 720. I got the Junmai by Tentaka Kuni. Whoa. And I got a Taro Sake by Kiku Masamune, which is kind of odd because the one that should have, the bigger one that was the same price, it was actually much better than the smaller one that was the same price. So the Taro, I like the Taro Sake better than the Junmai, but we can talk about it when we get into the details, I guess.
All right. Those words kind of flew right off your tongue like you actually knew what you're talking about. You know, it's
cool. Yeah, well, I was pretty
impressed. I know.
I also have some pretty simple. They're simple. They're not. You guys have more complex producers than I.
I think Kate might be a natural of Japanese.
Perhaps on purpose. I don't know.
She's like, I bought mine based on pronunciation.
I partially did, but.
You didn't. Even, you see, you're smarter than I am. I should have done that too.
I was looking for one with like Pokemon or Hello Kitty or something on the front, but they don't seem to have any.
No. I know, like that other, like the beer I got that time. So let's just talk about a little about sake, then we'll get into a couple of the ones we have, and we could do some taste and some reactions, since a lot of us haven't had sake. This will be the first time, maybe just me, I don't know.
And smell. I want to know what you guys think of the smell.
Yeah, so do I.
I ask people that all the time.
don't fall for it. He's trying to derail you.
Come on.
Almost, so close.
Close.
So sake, believe it or not, is made from rice. So sake is an alcoholic beverage popularized in Japan. Its history is very long, dating back to the 3rd century AD, when literature recorded the manner and customs of taking sake. That's pretty impressive. That goes like, that's like Belgian ale style history. It was approximately in the 3rd century BC, late period of the Jomon era, if that means anything to anybody, when the method of...
Random fact.
I like to drop in the random derailment facts.
Oh, yeah. The 3rd century BC. Isn't that the Jomon era?
Yeah, totally. It's like it's right after the Jurassic era. So
That's so cool.
This is when they discovered a method of rice planting that was kind of introduced in Japan. It's believed that sake made in Japan started around the same time as other areas. Now the trick here is I think other people have made sake maybe even before Japan, but it all comes down to where it was kind of started and mass produced. Not all rice is created equal. Sake rice is a brown, short grain rice, almost round, so like maybe like a, I don't know, a ball. The starches in rice, which provide the best flavors, are concentrated in the center of the rice in what often looks like a white pearl, which is kind of a neat idea. It's kind of cool. Using table rice would be kind of like using standard grapes for wine. It won't be the same, and you'll get a rough, one-dimensional flavor profile.
I use Rice-A-Roni?
San Francisco treat?
I was wondering that, because I'm like, why do I eat grapes, but nobody ever calls them Merlot grapes. So I wonder what a Merlot grape tastes like. It probably tastes just like any other grape. That's for a whole other problem. For premium and super premium sakis, the outside of the grain containing undesirable fat and proteins, which can deliver unpleasant flavors and aromas, are actually polished away. This exposes the heart of the rice that contains the starch and will then be converted into these fermented sugars. So I think that's where we get more of the purity, if you will. And purity is always awesome. I think we all kind of, if I'm looking at them, I don't think any of us bought the bottom of the barrel. That's pretty cool.
I don't know if you can get the bottom of the barrel here, can you?
I tried. I thought my 750 mil for $6 was...
That's pretty low.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Hold on a second.
Look, I mean, I did. It's rice and water. It's not like it's a real expensive thing to make, right?
And it's a really short process, isn't it, to actually make it?
I don't.
It doesn't have to age for very long.
Yeah, I didn't see a lot on like the fundamental like histories of this crazy stuff. So let's sit down and talk about this before we go into different groups of sake, because I think at this point is a great time to break out and give some initial reactions. Now, what are you currently drinking? Like, what's in your sake glass? And what do you guys have for glasses? Are you just using, like, what do you use? Yeah, I don't
I
have
usually
sake
use something
glasses.
Like a shot glass, but it's a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
It's like a tall, thin glass.
Ah, shot glass. I should have thought of that. Son of a bitch. I'm using,
I'm using a punch bowl.
No, pretty close.
I pictured them as being sort of short and stocky more than tall and thin. I thought they were little cups. No?
Yeah,
they are.
Oh,
like tea.
Yeah, I have a sake set. So like I got the receptacle. Yeah. The sake bowl. Or actually, that's kind of what the little cups look like, sake bowl cups. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm all authentic and shit.
That's cool.
You went all authentic.
So I got that going for me.
I just used, well, first I measured it out in a shot glass because I didn't know how much I was supposed to drink and I didn't want to get too trashed too quickly. So I measured out a shot glass and I poured it into a wine glass. Wait, which was...
Can you guys hear that?
What?
No.
Kanpai.
Oh, that's not cool.
More derailment. And then the other glass, I just used a regular glass, but I wished that I had a little cup of some sort. But
it's
I saw
like
these really cool
attack.
Ones online. They were like cedar.
Cedar?
They weren't like cedar. They were cedar. Yeah.
Yeah, they weren't like
which
it.
Is good for the taru sake because it's got that cedar taste to it. But anyway, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. So what do you guys?
I just wanted to, while I'm on the derailing kind of thing here, when you were editing last week, I certainly hope you didn't pull out any of my references to how awesome I am.
Oh, no, they're all in there.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that.
Carry on.
I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. They're.
Yeah, Dave was on a me kick
for a while. I kept them all. I made sure.
More so than usual.
So.
Oh.
More so than usual. So what I'll start us off. What I have is I cracked open this Rihaku Nigori Sake. It's also AKA Dreamy Clouds. I'm guessing they just do that for the humor of America. I mean, really? Dreamy Clouds? It's like English, really. Dreamy Clouds is just, it's not really great marketing, but it is true. Because it's kind of, it's unfiltered. So when you look at it at the store, if you just move it around, you could see all the white clouds at the bottom kind of floating around. Yeah. Now, this one was, it's a 300 milliliter. And it's from the company is Rihaku. That's the company brewery. I don't know what you want to call it. Now, there's Dave just brought this on to me. It's a sake meter. You guys see this thing? Dave, you should.
No.
You should
it's
set
how
it.
Wasted you are.
No.
Oh.
Can you, do you have the URL? I can see if I can send
it.
I don't have the chat window open. What the hell? Oh, I can open a chat window.
I got it. Hang on.
All right. You got it. Hanging on.
Oh.
There it is. Now, this is the sake meter. There's a meter from plus 15 to minus 15 on drier to sweet. Minus 15 being super sweet and plus 15 being super dry.
And then there's a more complicated one below it, which is how many shots of sake you have to do before the person you're with looks attractive.
Right. So right now, Dave looks ugly as hell. I mean, to me. Right.
No cuddling for you.
No one is jumping in and saving him.
No, I'm not getting any saving.
I'm sorry. I was totally involved with deciphering the charts and trying to figure out which one is telling me that I'm drunk enough, and
so I would
that,
forget like, about the bottom one. I would look enough. At the simple one, which is what most things seem to be based upon. Starts at zero, which is neutral or water tasting, even though there's no fucking way sake could ever taste like water. And as you go plus from that, it winds up being drier, and as you go minus, it winds up being sweeter.
That all makes sense to me.
For example, the dry one that I have is a plus one, so it's just barely dry, I guess. And the Momokawa Pearl is minus 12, so it's very sweet.
Yes. Now, the one I'm looking at, the Rihaku Nigori Dreamy Clouds, is plus 3. So it's a little dry, but not super dry. I have to keep pouring it because everybody keeps saying kanpai.
Cough. Damn it.
Now, the
I don't like this stuff.
Yes.
But no, I got to keep filling the little glass.
Yep. So I'm actually drinking mine out of Tupperware, tiny little Tupperware glass. It's probably like a bowl for ketchup or something.
Awesome.
Yeah. Now, the Dreamy Clouds is actually not as white as...
Oh.
Not good.
Crap!
What? You pour it on yourself?
The bottom of the barrel one that I got?
Yeah.
Yeah. I should have read the back of the label.
Oregon.
Oh, fuck, no. Colorado or some shit.
Maybe
wow,
it's
brewed did in the USA according to the process originated by...
Well, you got the
sake. You got the bush of sake.
I so did.
Record.
Son of a bitch. All right, fuck it. All right, I'm drinking. Fuck it. God damn. Oh.
You don't
anyway,
have to drink.
Continue.
Just drink whichever one you like the best.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. Here's the deal. So mine is it's kind of like dirty water, really. It's not white. It looks like maybe what I would envision Mexican water looking like without the floaties.
It looks like vanilla. Do you ever cook and use vanilla?
I never cook.
It looks like vanilla to me.
No, that's you think? No, this is really white. This isn't that white. It's more watery than white. The other one is definitely white. Let me see. It says this to the Tokubetsu Junmai, which I guess translates to special Junmai, which means you have to know Junmai means pure. So it's special pure. So maybe that's why it's kind of clear. Maybe only a little filtered. I'm having a hard time understanding the flavor, the smell. It smells.
I want to
say coconut.
I am too.
I want to say coconut or tropical, but then I don't. I don't know what it. It's very light. It's not very aromatic.
This is going to be a really obvious adjective considering the ingredients, but to me, it just smelled and tasted starchy. Just starchy. I don't know how better to describe it, but it I don't know. It's very... I actually Googled, to get an idea of, like, what people think it tastes like, and I couldn't get any... Like, there was no... Everyone was all over the board. And people seem to think it tasted like wine. I don't think it tastes like wine at all.
Well, it's one of those things where people put up like, oh, well, it has overtones of this or that. And
apparently, my taste buds
are just shot, and I can't taste anything. So.
Mine has a creamy, complex, fruity profile, to be honest with you.
Mine looks a little bit like semen. Yeah.
Yeah, I was waiting.
Oh, yeah, the one.
The Negori one, yeah.
So
it really does, and... I'm not going to say it has the same consistency, but I would imagine if it
if you
did.
Start commenting on the flavor, we're going to get into some interesting.
Well, no, we'll just bring Kate in for that because I don't think any of us are qualified.
Isn't the mouthfeel of this one just freaking
weird?
It doesn't
taste as good.
It's strange.
Anyway.
Wait, which doesn't taste as good?
I was going to seek clarification, then I decided not to.
Clarification needed.
Did any of you guys get a taru sake or no?
What's
taru,
that?
Taru.
It's a type. I believe it's a type. I think the type I got was made by, this is the one that I have trouble with, but Kiku Masamune. But I think a lot of other
the one you have trouble with. Fuck off.
Producer. You know what? Do you call him a producer or a brewery?
I saw a lot of brewery references.
Really? Yeah, I didn't know what to call it, but okay, I'm going to call it a brewery.
But it's distilled, though, right? It's not
brewery. I know.
Yeah. It's not distilled, is it?
I don't know.
Sake's not. I don't think it's distilled.
It's fermented. It's like beer, I think.
No, it's like wine or beer. Wine is also fermented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
distilled is more like vodka.
But
oh,
that was this particular type of sake, the taru sake, is aged in cedar casks, and it has a really nice taste as a result. It kind of covers up that weird, starchy, acidic kind of taste that I think is inherent in sake. But I wouldn't know because I've only had two different kinds. But I don't know. They both had that weird, distinctive smell. But the taru sake had that, when you smell a cedar closet, might not sound too good because you're going to drink it, but it actually, I could see myself drinking this like in the winter.
And it keeps moths away.
Well,
I was
yeah.
For last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever, I was in a big sales meeting in California, and I wound up in a sushi bar. And the guy that I was with knew sake really well. And, you know, like I said, I've consumed a lot of it. I know nothing about it. And he got some kind of nigori that was chilled, and it tasted like, I don't know, alcoholic vanilla pudding or something. It was fantastic. Granted, wow. I was shit-faced before I started drinking it, which I think helps quite a lot, but
makes everything taste better.
Yeah, it's just, this isn't the same. I wish I had that stuff again.
So this one is, well, first off, it's 14. I don't have very high ones. 15.5% is the highest I have. This is this dreamy clouds. I could see how somebody might say it tastes like wine.
My gecko one. It reminds me of, it reminds me of two things. It reminds me of vermouth.
Uh-oh.
And it also reminds me of Thunderbird.
Uh-oh. That's not a good profile for them.
Which are both very dry, right? Aren't they both really drying?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Kind of need that.
Very much so.
You might have on the back, it might tell you what the number is.
You bought yourself a Japanese 40, didn't you?
Gosh, I should have.
Mine says there's an SMV rating on some of mine that actually tell you what the rating is on them. Like what the plus or minus is.
No, this one doesn't.
Yeah, some of them, yeah.
Unfortunately.
So,
yeah, so some of them you'll see SMV, which is the sake meter value. Otherwise, you'll see here's where I'm going to fuck it up.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Hansudo.
I like it. I believe it.
Which is the same thing.
It's the meter, if you were to say it in Japanese. My reaction to this is indifference, really. I would say it does not taste foul. It's not super sweet because it's a little on the dry side. I would compare it. I'm going to say it's like, it's got the dry taste of a Merlot. If you were to take the Merlot, like a Merlot, and get rid of, like, the same body and everything of a Merlot, but get rid of the grape, the plums. And
the flavor.
Get rid of the plums and the fruity flavors in that direction and head more towards a starch or a coconut or a cream style. I can't even think of, like, a fruit that you can compare to something that's creamy except for cream itself. It's really different. It's hard to explain. It's not like wine. Yet it's not like beer. I don't know what it's like. And I had my wife try this one, and she was like, yeah, I don't think I drink that, but I don't even know what to say it is.
I agree. It's really interesting because I was going through the same thing. Like, I don't even know how I'm going to describe the taste of it because it's so just so different, you know?
It's like dreamy clouds.
I don't love anything that you take a sip of and you go, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, what is that taste? I can't figure it out. But I just think, I don't know. I actually think I will probably drink, the cedar tasting one, the Taru. But I'd like to try to acquire a taste for it.
Oh,
I don't think it's that bad.
No, you know what? I think there's a lot of taste acquisition that needs to happen here.
Like, yes.
The same thing happened with wine. When you drink wine just for your first time, you're like, why do people drink this?
The hell is that? Yeah.
I'm still
especially if you're coming off of being a beer drinker or actually any other, you know,
anything liquor,
really.
Yeah.
Any liquor or anything.
I have to admit, though, I am much more attracted to sake than I am wine.
Which is weird.
Huh. Which is strange, I know, but I have a much easier time drinking sake than I do wine.
That doesn't really make any sense, but
I know,
I guess it does. No, because maybe you just don't like grapes.
that could be.
There's really, I don't know how to explain it, but all I know is, and this one here is this is one of the more expensive ones. So I thought, you know, I'll go through the other ones, but I think that this is tolerable. Acquisition to the taste is probably needed. I will finish it because it's not that bad. It's not like a, you drink
you know
and you're
helps?
Like, foul. Being really Kempai. Drunk. Yep, goodbye. Shit. You make me pour more.
I think, I like that. Like Doug was saying, how he has a set. And I think like if you have the right cups and everything, and it, particularly if you have people over for dinner, I don't eat seafood, but a lot of people like seafood. But I could see like after dinner having a cup of sake. I don't know. It's pretty light. And the thing that you guys can talk about, because I just chilled mine. Everything on both bottles said best when served chilled, so I chilled it. But I'm wondering, you know, what that would do to the taste if you had it at a different temperature. If it makes it more dry or less dry, or I don't know.
Dave, what are you drinking? Which one is you have cracked open?
I've got both of them going.
So you just pour them in the one and you make a hybrid?
Well, no. The problem is they're really different. So the one that I've been drinking is the dry one.
And that's
how's that? You're gonna make me trip. I'm sorry. Anyways,
just say it in Japanese.
It's the one that has a bunch of Japanese characters in the front. It's okay. It's interesting in that the smell definitely has some like kind of fruity things going on. Although I can't identify any of the fruits that I'm picking up, which kind of goes more, you know, back to the fact that my taste buds and stuff are obviously fucked.
Right.
I'm sorry. Are you not drinking the Momokawa?
No. I'm drinking that too.
Okay. I'm sorry to do this to you, but Kanpai, and then drink that one, and then I'm going to throw a flavor out there, and I want your reaction to it.
All right, ready?
All right. Yeah.
All right.
Wait, he just said, was Doug going to throw out what he thinks it tastes like?
Yeah, Dave, did you another quick sip?
All right. Yeah.
Just so it's fresh for you.
All right.
Bazooka Joe.
Oh, my God, you're right.
Isn't it?
It's very subtle, like it's on the back end of it, but yeah.
Bubblegum?
Freaking weird. Yeah, it took me forever to place it. And I was like,
you guys think your sake tastes like bubblegum?
It's not like the pink taste of it, but
bubblegum.
The end of it has that.
Wow, mine's got none of that.
No. Well, this is the unfiltered one. It actually, like, if you run it up and down the side of the glass, you can see where there's like little bits of, I guess, rice. Like, it's really thick and rice chunky bits. Stuff.
Mine has floaties. Tiny.
The other
tiny
one, the dry one, the clear one, is nothing like that. There's no weird flavors like that to it.
So what do you guys
think? I will say, though, that this unfiltered one is just, when you pour it, it's just wrong. Like, in so many different ways, it's
wrong.
It's wrong.
What is the outcome? Are you guys, do you like it? Do you not like it? Are you going to finish it? And what do you think?
It's a big bottle. I don't know if I can finish that much.
Will your wife drink it?
Oh, hell no. The thing is I do like some of the Nigoris that I've had, and this was not one that I've had before. This is not one of the best ones I've had. It's okay. I'm able to drink it, but I don't know if I'd buy it again.
That's fair. And now, I forget to ask Doug this, because I know Dave's had sake, because he had already mentioned it. Doug, have you ever had sake before?
Yes. Yes, I've had my... I guess I don't know. I've had sake. I've had a good amount of sake.
I would guess so.
Mostly hot sake though.
But you've had cups, so I'm guessing. So which one did you heat up?
The gecko one.
Okay.
The Gekkan.
Gekkan. Did you
Gekkan?
Now, what do you have? You already had that one, or is it still too hot? Okay. So what is?
No.
Tell me, because I'm not heating any of mine. What am I missing? Like, what is the difference?
I don't know. Shit's hot.
I mean, oh.
It makes you drink it slower? Psh, I don't know.
So you don't actually know if it, you can't really taste any difference that would make it obvious? Like, oh yeah, this is totally different than if I had something like this cold.
I think that I would agree with, his name was Eric?
Yeah.
Eric stated that the hot sake helps cover up the fact that it's probably not as good, which it does. It, you know, you're drinking it hot, so you're sipping it, and you're drinking it slower, so you don't notice that it's not as good as let's say the Momokawa one.
Okay.
I think it's a seasonal thing too, right? I mean, I've had it warm before in the
wintertime. In the wintertime, that totally makes sense. Which is in the notes too.
Anytime that I'd ever had it out, which is usually, actually always, when getting a sushi, it's always been hot.
Okay, so you actually, and we talked about this once before with Mexican beers. If I go to a Mexican restaurant, the chances are good I'm going to order a Dos Equis or something that's where I might not typically buy that. So when you do sushi, you would do sake.
Yes,
kind of fit
actually,
the whole theme.
I would like to say that pairing sake with sushi really. Now that I'm just drinking sake by itself, I'm not eating anything.
Right.
I would say that I enjoy drinking sake better when eating sushi. I think I would prefer this drinking this with a meal versus just sitting around and drinking it.
That's cool. I mean, that we can say that. I think that's the same with many. I would guess many different. Maybe not as much as beer. With wine, I also would admit the same thing. Like, there's different flavors on the palate, and things that taste one way taste completely different when you pair them. I haven't had that same experience with beer, honestly. For me, I've had a better chance drinking beer solo without the food. I don't know why. Yep. it's just, maybe it's just me, but I know there's beer pairings, and I'm just not a big fan of that. So you're an experienced sake drinker, so you're not. Now, Kate, have you ever had sake before?
Nope, okay. This is my first time.
So we're both.
Really?
So there's two of us that have never done it before.
I've never had it.
We're both sake
versions. But I don't eat sushi either, so.
Neither do I.
You know what? I don't either, but I go to sushi bars because they have great appetizers.
Yes.
Oh.
You can
get like all this stuff off the grill and
exactly next.
Oh, so you're a fan of the tuna tataka?
Not even that, because I'm not a big seafood guy.
Who's she?
Oh, okay.
I tend to eat like the
tempura shit.
Yeah, tempura. Wait, what's
stuff
tempura?
Off the grill, whatever. Tempura is the deep fried stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, that would be good.
So nobody but me eats the sushi.
Correct.
Nope.
That. For
which
whatever reason, I find troubling.
We're out of New England, and
we drink. Well, I've had Mugu Gai Pan, and no, I haven't had that.
That's not sushi.
It's also not Japanese, but besides that,
it sounds like it.
And bury some corn. No, that's what I'm like just trying to lighten things up a bit. No, I'm not. If I go to a Japanese restaurant. I go to the, and we, Doug, last time you up and went here, right? We went to the Japanese restaurant where they serve the food on, I think we, yeah, he was you, on in one of those fried outdoor kitchen deals. They have a name, but whatever it is, where the chefs come over and they cook it in front of you. And I always, what?
Teppanyaki.
Bless you. I like the steak.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did somebody say kanpai?
Oh, shit. I'm drinking a different one now, damn it.
Motherfucker.
So, well, I usually get steak and fried rice and chicken. And they have a really good, a spicy mustard there. So, make a long story short, next time I go, I think instead of getting a Mai Tai, I'll probably get sake just to experience a difference see what it tastes like. Because I never had sake before, and honestly, I was afraid. Seriously, to go to a Japanese or Chinese restaurant and order something there already that you don't understand or you don't know is fearful enough if you're not very experimental with food. You don't want – my fear is I don't want to get order some sort of what I think is chicken and have a beak come out or a fish with a full head on it because I'm not a big seafood person either. So I'm always kind of peculiar about what I order. So it's the same with sake. I'm like, I don't want to order something at a restaurant and not like it because then I'm screwed because I don't have another drink. So
that's
I wanted
right,
to kind of do it. Do this in a home thing, and this was the perfect time when Eric had sent that email. I'm like, dude, that's a great idea because I haven't had that. How can I be an everyday drinker if I haven't experienced alcohol from all over the world?
That's a good question.
Right?
You know, I was actually going to add another thing that you see in both Japan and China and Korea. There's another thing called soju, which is, I think it's a similar process to making sake, but it's a lot stronger. And it's kind of the drink of choice in Korea, but it's becoming very popular in Japan as well.
Really? So, yeah. I mean, it's always nice to have variety. So, although I doubt sake's going to disappear or anything, I mean, especially look in the history of this, this is some old shit. So, I think they're safe in their heritage, and I'm glad actually that they brought it over here. And I'm sure they're probably happy that they're getting stuff from other countries brought over there. They don't have Sam Smith, I bet, or Sam Adams or any of that, but whatever. They're working on it.
There's this other thing that they do that is sort of like, imagine a nigori, so the thick, creamy, white thing, right?
Right.
But brew it like a beer, and it becomes carbonated.
Yeah.
It's hard to describe, but it's actually pretty decent.
Interesting.
It's almost like a sweet, white beer.
Interesting.
Yeah, it wouldn't be like a Belgian ale, because the Belgian ale is not sweet.
It's also
like a cider.
It's not
cider.
Light. A hard cider, but with unfiltered hard cider. Well, even a hard cider is cloudy. It's just not white.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, this looks like milk, but it's carbonated.
Interesting.
Cool. Yeah.
You see, because I've seen a fermented milk-like substance in Mexico, but it looked absolutely repulsive. But if you add carbonation and maybe chill it, maybe not too bad.
Exactly.
If you put an umbrella in it, it's always going to be good.
Yeah, I mean, umbrellas do it for me all the time.
I love umbrellas. I have a whole box.
I mean, it's like pureed poop with vegetable broth.
And an umbrella.
Put an umbrella in it.
Fucking awesome.
Oh, it's chocolatey.
back to the subject. Let's talk
about... No, while we're down that path, I'm going to keep going a little bit. I heard a comedian recently talking about how he was watching one of these like home decorating shows, and they said basically, you know, it's easier to sell your home if you clean up before people come over. You know, pretty obvious.
True.
He goes, no, I was thinking about taking some diarrhea pills and using some stencils to do the walls.
Come by.
Nice.
Oh. All right, hold on.
Yeah, I gotta refill.
Try some of my warm.
Mine's getting warm.
My room temperature one.
I gotta admit, the bottle for the smaller one here is actually kind of pretty. It's like a
blue,
pale,
right?
Blue, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that on the shelf. I really wanted to buy it, but I refrained for some reason.
Because it was from
the
Oregon.
Cloudy stuff on the bottom just was weird.
Oh, no, you stayed away. I went right cloudy. For that. Oh,
it's not? There was a whole bunch of white stuff on the bottom.
Nigori?
Yeah, that's why it says shake well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, I'm so buying this one.
Such explored.
This sake needs to be shaken.
Not
it's got to be good.
Let's go through a little grouping of sake, then we'll cut into what we got going on with our next drinks. So sake is divided into two groups. This is kind of important. You have pure rice sake.
Your rice sake.
Right? Or,
yeah. Or
sake with additional
sake
alcohol.
Sake with additional alcohol.
Why do I have an echo?
Should we all read it together?
Yeah, that's what the listeners want to say.
I'll stop.
Yeah.
I'll stop.
So I think with the non-pure rice sake, it's kind of – I was envisioning when they said they added additional alcohol. I'm thinking fortified wine. That's how I'm envisioning what – you know, you're adding alcohol to something that obviously didn't need it to begin with. Once you've broken into those two groups, now you have subgroups of each of those just to make things a little more complicated. In the group which has added alcohol, I guess, you know, you can have – these would be, I guess, the cheaper ones. You can have another four subgroups of which is quite simply cheap sake with lots of alcohol. I guess that would be like your Colt 45 of sake. And
Colt 45 for the win.
Yes. And then you have three others. You have Honjozo, Ginjo sake, and Dai Ginjo sake. To make a good cheap sake – you probably are going to use a lower grade of rice with very little polish to the rice to get at the heart of that rice. Less time, less cost, less great taste.
We should probably kind of talk about that because...
Less filling?
Right.
You know, the Polish rice.
Polish rice.
Yeah. Yes, I know. I'm just joking. What's the deal with that? Because I keep seeing references to it, and I don't have any idea.
So that's where you would take – you're taking off the impurity. So it would be like making – it's like the triple-filtered or six-filtered vodka, you know, where you're taking out the impurities. In this case, they're taking the grain of rice, which is brown, and they're running it through some machines or some people, I guess, can
milling
do it manually, milling it through to get – to basically rub off all the brown rice edging, which is your proteins and your fats, which I'm going to guess is important for, I don't know, healthy eating. You know, like if when people eat in a lot of Asian countries where they eat a lot of rice, and that might be in, you know, some third world countries, the only form of food or nourishment you have, those fats and those proteins are really important, right? Because your brain is going to stop functioning without fats and proteins.
Is that what happened to you?
No, that was just the umbilical cord around my neck. This is more of you're removing all of that. See how I roll with that?
That was really good, actually.
I know. I don't know where that came from in society. Where you're removing all those impurities just to get at the heart of the rice because that's what they want. That's what makes it pure. They're getting rid of things that can taint the flavor. And I'm guessing when you take a cheaper rice, you're just pretty much taking Uncle Ben's, tossing it into a mill and going, yeah, an hour polishing, that's good. Boom, throw it in and we'll start fermenting that shit up.
Which is probably the kind that you want to serve warmer.
Yes, because
at a higher temperature.
Exactly, because you don't want to taste those impurities. I mean, maybe. Yeah. So that's one group. And the other group contains no additional alcohol. There are three subgroups. There's Junmai sake, which I think we've all got, or Junmai Jingo. Or Ginjo, and Junmai Dai Ginjo. The differences in each group revolves around how much rice is actually – I spelled it wrong. How
we need like Japanese hooked on phonics or something.
Japanese hooked on phonics. Come by. How much rice is milled to make it.
Are you drinking, motherfucker?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I just want to finish make it. Much like the last three major groups of those fortified sakis, we're kind of looking, you know, those are the higher end ones. This, I think all these groups are kind of considered higher end because they don't have any additional alcohols or impurities or anything added to them. So kind of I envision it like a German beer or a Russian vodka in other countries, where, well, obviously in Russia for Russian vodka. All these people, they have their own rules, right? Sake has their own strict rules so that one can call it sake. Some rules are fairly strict, and other which involve fermentation of rice. Rice koji, which is the mold used to convert the starch in the rice into fermentable sugars, which pretty much makes it a beer, and water, which is then pressed through a mesh. It seems like the rules are more the rules that are most strictly defined probably make some of the more pure and premium sake. Some of the places I found this information, I can't remember. I gleaned it from so many different references. They kind of made note that there were other rules that made something sake that didn't, that were kind of loose on how they're defined. So there's a way you can kind of like make it up as you go along and still call it sake. So that's unfortunate that there are rules like that. But I think the strict rule definition was, you know, rice, koji, water. And the water is supposed to be pretty pure. I'm picturing Fiji water just because it's kind of Haitian, Polynesian.
I guess they use, I mean, is there a specific kind of yeast that they use for fermentation?
They don't.
Did you come across anything
I didn't find
like
anything
that?
For the specific yeasts. It was, everything I read pretty much made it sound like a beer more than wine, even though sake, whatever you want to call it, is a Japanese for rice wine. I think it's more beer than wine. They don't actually say what yeast they, well, I couldn't find anything on the yeast specifically, though I didn't search. I was just looking through the whole system. So terms like super ginjo or specially brewed appears on labels. And these are just pure marketing tactics. Nothing in the legal system that defines what's super and special about it. And we do the same thing with wines. I mean, if you've ever seen any estates and like they put words on them to make them sound like they're super, super awesome for wines and even beers, there's nothing that makes it above and beyond something else. Like especial, it's no more especial than the guy next door you just put on your label. I think that works. You can pretty much work marketing into every single form of, I don't know, selling. So before we move on to what makes hot versus cold versus warm, I wanted to go do another round of some of our different sake brands here, if you got any. What I wanted to touch on was, I'm going with this Nigoro sake, which says serve chilled. It's a Geikakan, which is the actual brewer slash business, I guess. 10% alcohol by volume. This is another 300 milliliter. This was the $4.99. Yeah.
That's low.
It's low.
Yeah, that is low.
They didn't add any extra alcohol to it, I guess. And this one is, this is your white, very white. Like, you cannot see through it. It's, you know, like you guys have already stated about the homoerotica. And when you roll it up on the edges of the glass, it's definitely leaving little white dots everywhere. It looks like you're drinking starch. But it has...
Okay.
This one tastes more like alcohol, even though it has less. I don't know why that is. It kind of tastes like, or smells like alcohol, and oh, it's got a weird smell to it that kind of rings a bell, but I can't put a name on the scent. I'll try it anyway. Whoa. So that's a, that's a little
Japanese
more potent.
Japanese sailor?
No. Definitely not. It's definitely more potent and a little more body on the, unfortunately, on the white, the thicker one. Maybe because it's not fermented as, or it's not filtered as much. It's stronger. It tastes more like alcohol, even though it has, let's see, the other one which hit it pretty well was 15%. This is only 10%, but it tastes a little more like alcohol. I'm going to say this is a little more impure, just because it's kind of got a rough texture. However, go back to that sweet meter where we said sweet is minus 15, dry is plus 15. The chart on here says this is minus 30. I haven't figured any. I mean, it literally calls out dry
minus,
indicator.
Minus, does that mean you get diabetes just from drinking it?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. And it's imported from New York. Roughly filtered, milky, low alcohol sake with refreshing fruity flavor. Shake well and serve chilled. Made only with rice water and yeast. Free from sulfites, preservatives, and gluten. I don't know, dude. This is weird, some weird stuff.
Actually, you know what? The gluten thing is kind of interesting because I have a friend who's celiac.
Yes.
And he can't have wheat gluten. So the idea of something rice-related is not something I thought of before, but that would work really well for him.
He should be a big sake drinker. It definitely is sweet, but it's not sweet like schnapps sweet. It's sweet with a dry finish. Weird. Ah,
let me interrupt because that's my thing. So last night I was making espresso martinis.
Yes.
And a little trick that I found out was if you take butterscotch schnapps.
Okay. Sounds
and
good.
Give it a little hit.
Of what?
It's just
acid?
Pure yumminess.
Oh, just put
oh, that sounds really good. Butterscotch and espresso flavor.
Yeah. It was really nice. And I was, okay, so I might have been finishing off the shots myself, but butterscotch is yummy, so that's okay.
It totally is. It's like, yeah.
Butterscotch.
Right. Mm. So now that we're way off track, carry on.
So this is nothing like butterscotch schnapps. This is. It is. It's, you know, it's weird to have something that has.
I'm still trying to figure out why Dave jumped in at that moment with the butterscotch.
Because he said schnapps and it just triggered.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
It doesn't take much, really.
This is weird. It's when if you just put it in your mouth and like let it kind of fester there for a second, it's very super sweet. But right when you swallow it, it's gone. It's like
that is really interesting. Fruity. I wrote that in my little write up, my little short little write up. That it's a very very strong taste, but as soon as that leaves your mouth, there's no aftertaste.
How does that work?
Isn't that what being dry is all about, though?
Yeah, but it's not dry. It's minus 30.
Yours is sweet, though, right?
Yeah. No, but this is super sweet on the front end, but it still maintains the dryness. Maybe I got to read that. I think these guys don't know how to read a chart, because first off, it only goes to minus 15. So why wouldn't you just say that? I mean, if you wanted to say how super sweet it is, make it minus 16. Minus 30 is just a little out of control. There's not a lot of acidity. I don't know. It's kind of... It is light flavored. It's just crazy. And you know what? I can't say I like it as much as the other one. The sweet really? Thing, I don't know.
Because the way you describe it, I want to try it. I actually think when I went to the liquor store, you know how certain sections they'll put a little tag out to tell you like which one is kind of not the best, but oh, this is a really unique tasting wine or sake or whatever. And
right.
The tag for the one I think you're describing was out and it was empty, that part of the shelf. And I was kind of bummed because I wanted to buy it. You know, whenever I see those tags, I'm a sucker for it. I'm like, well, that must be good.
Marketing.
And it was all sold out, but I'm pretty sure it's the one you're talking about.
It's the one that's in the picture on the show notes.
Yeah, well, the bottle wasn't on the shelf, but it sounds like, what was the name of it again?
Does
it start with an H?
Niguro Saki.
Niguri.
It's Gay Kakan in the very small letters, but that's it. I mean, look, if you look at that picture, it looks so generic. Maybe because that the orange Chinese and this or Japanese characters on the side probably say like poison. I don't know. They probably say Gay Kikan if I
deadly
had to guess.
Deadly Tugajin.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's not that as bad. And I will finish it. I'm going to finish all these, not tonight. But it's totally unique.
I didn't know you spelled kumpai like that.
Wow, it took you guys that long, huh? I figured it would
be. And you just said it, so no.
Oh, shit.
Oh. Shit. Oh, I didn't notice that either. Well done.
I was looking at the picture of the bottle, and then my eye went over to the right a little, and I was like, come by? And then I realized, I said it again. Sorry.
Oh, shit.
Very clever.
Really, that is applicable to the one that Doug and I are drinking.
So. That's what I was thinking. That's what I thought it meant. And then I was like, oh.
It so is.
I did my best. I was
shit,
waiting for comments.
So cash.
Dave, what is your second one you got?
I've got the one that Doug has done. That's the one we keep kind of rambling about in the background. The other one that I have is the Kikusui Junmai Ginjo.
Whoa. He's been practicing.
Nice. He's done.
Damn, I'm smooth.
You are.
He has it written down.
What it is, you know how last week I was talking about how I didn't want to start brewing beer? I, in fact, do brew sake, and all these guys follow my shit.
No. She's like, yeah, you do?
Like, then how come you thought it was distilled?
This is the guy that also said that he has free energy in his house or whatever. So,
look, I'm way too advanced for you to figure that out. So.
We're lost upon your intelligence.
Yeah. And you should start calling me sir, by the way.
Oh, sorry, sir.
Your unabashed egoism is very... Very amusing.
That's very unabashed.
Yeah.
And so misplaced. Wait, what?
So
this one is actually from Japan. This isn't an Oregon one.
Okay.
This is brewed and bottled by the Kikusui Sake Brewing Company. Again, that brewing thing in Niigata, Japan. This is a clear one. It's in a nice, almost baby blue bottle. It's kind of pretty attractive. And the placard thing that stuck out, because obviously I am also a sucker for whatever advertiser is paying at the liquor store, made a reference to it as being called chrysanthemum water. And I've not seen any other reference to that online, but I can't read kanji, so it could be calling, you know, it could be called anything. I don't know. So this one's interesting because this one's a little more like the ones that I usually wind up getting thrown at me by small businessmen when I'm over there. Keeping it chilled, I've got like an ice bath thing that I'm using. And it's interesting. Like the smell of it is actually fairly pleasant for sake. It has a little bit of a fruit smell to it. But again, I don't know which fruit we're talking about here. A sweetness to it, I guess.
They all say
but
fruity.
The thing is the flavor doesn't have any sweetness. And you know what? This is another one of those ones where it has zero aftertaste. It's very strange.
I've noticed
like,
that
you
with
keep
mine.
It in your mouth, you can taste it. As soon as you swallow it, it's gone. Just poof.
Magic.
It is.
That's awesome.
It's Japanese. Very clever.
It's surprising because it's such a strong taste and it's such a strong smell. Mm-hmm. And then it's gone.
I don't know if it's as strong though. I think it's strong because you're not used to it. Like if you've had some wine, right? I know people who if they smell wine, like my wife, she's like, that's strong. And she doesn't even taste it yet. And you're like, well, it's Cabernet, right? It's got tan. See, it's easier for us to describe the wine. It's tannic. It's, you know, it's smooth, it's round. You could tell a tannic wine because you smell it and you're like, oh yeah, that's going to burn the palate. This, I don't know what to expect. It's just, I don't know what to say. It's like, it smells like some fruit. I don't know what type of fruit. It looks like semen. I don't know what type of semen. It's just the way it is.
There are types of semen.
I don't know.
Never mind. I don't want to know.
It might be the Spanish Inquisition, but you would never expect it.
Exactly. What? Yes, exactly. I'm
sorry, Monty Python.
Yes, I know. I've seen it. Sorry. I've seen Monty Python. Yeah, so, what does your meter say on your specific sake?
This is a plus. No, wait. Yeah. Where the hell did it go?
I don't know. What did you do with it?
This is acidity 1.6, which is crisp and clean, and it's a plus 1, which means it's just barely into the dry category.
Okay.
Now, the thing is, if this is a plus 1, I think a plus 15 would cause your face to implode.
It's that bad, huh?
It would be that dry.
Okay, so the Shochiku Bai?
Yeah.
Whatever. That one, when I try it, it took me a few sips to really place it, but I'm going to say Pinot Grigio is what it's doing for me.
So it's more of a sweet.
Fruity?
It's very fruity.
Yeah.
It's sweetish and fruity, definitely not as dry as the fucking whatever that one is. I'm staring at it. And like the spelling is teasing me. It's like, say me, motherfucker, I dare you.
I love when you look at something and you go, can't possibly wrap your head around that many consonants.
Famous. Is it a gay kikan? Which, by the way, owns 25% of the American sake market. Did you know that? The gay kikan?
Yeah, the gay kikan. Yeah. That, it's gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's extremely dry. And then the Shochiku Bai, that one is on the sweeter, as I called it,
Pinot Grigio side.
Although I will say, though, the semen one, I think without being gay, I'm going to say I prefer it.
You know how you wouldn't make it sound gay? Give it a different name. Maybe the cloudy unfiltered one, for instance. Because then it could sound like you're talking about an alcoholic brew that has very little filtration rather than saying...
Sometimes a nickname just sticks, you know?
It's true.
Okay. So
you like the gay kikan
one?
You like the gay kikan one better?
No. That one is the one that I had hot, very clear one. This was the Momokawa one.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah, the one from Oregon.
You know that the gay kikan company was like... pretty old. 1637. That's an old company.
I saw that.
That's pretty cool.
It's not old compared to the 3rd century BC.
No, but I mean, to go mass market, I mean,
oh, shit. Which, by the way, was the late Jomon era. In case you were wondering.
You bastard.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, so let's defer to you on those. I specialize in the Chinese dynasties, so.
Yeah, it's completely yeah,
Egyptian for me, so, right. You know.
I go with Civil War myself.
I have no specialization.
Yeah, I'm making this up as I go. Do you have any more? You have another one, Kate, don't you?
I guess so. I kind of talked about them both at the same time. Yeah, yes. Just the Junmai. It's very similar to the Tarusaki, except it doesn't have the cedar, woody kind of taste to it. But it's a +3 SMV, so it's pretty dry. I don't think I mentioned it, but the Tarusaki is a +5 SMV.
Ooh, that's pretty hardcore. Well, you're actually the one I prefer. Yeah, you're a wine drinker, so you might actually go with that direction. I wonder if that's a good assessment. If you're trying to get a wine drinker to, let's say, appreciate sake, you might be better off going with a five. Like the last one I have is a 5.5 that I haven't done yet. Because I had the same thing. It's like the more drier it seems, the better. Because you can't compare the sweeter to schnapps. You can't compare it to like a coffee liqueur. I haven't found anything you can compare the sweet to that makes you go, oh, like that. Right. With the drier
I wish
ones.
I had gotten a sweet. If I had done a little research ahead of time, I would have tried to do a sweet and a dry. Because I'm curious now with the sweet. Taste like, but I really like the dry. The drier, the better, it seems to me.
I got a sweet one.
I see myself developing a little taste for this. I'm kind of enjoying it.
Well, I have
no problem with that. I do take very small sips because I think you're supposed to, right?
Yeah,
Kampai means bottoms up.
No.
It means drink it like a shot.
Yeah.
That's
how I've always had it. Because
he's been in Japan and that's what they say.
Yeah, and you weigh like 300 pounds more than me.
That would be tough.
Yeah, actually, that's a problem there, too, because they take me out to get me drunk, and I wind up carrying them home.
Oh, yeah, it's true, because you're like 7 of them.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
That's awesome. Real quick, the sweetness, actually, especially with the unfiltered one, it has an odd sweetness, like what you would find in cheap pink bubble gum.
Well, this one specifically, yes.
Seriously odd.
Doug fell apart.
There's almost a hint of it even in the Shoshikubai that I have.
You're getting better at pronouncing it as you've been drinking. That was really good.
The thing about the Nigori, which is a little bit weird for me, is the texture of it is very strange.
It is. It has a really weird mouthfeel.
Right. Yeah, so it's a little bit creamy, but it has like some definite gritty bits in it.
Oh, yeah, totally gritty. I mean, when they're hanging on the edge of the glass.
Yeah.
It's like you're drinking what might have been, like if you were to get cookie dough and then just dilute it in water. And you get that cloudy, weird, I mean, it wouldn't taste like cookie dough because that'd be awesome. But like just a weird texture to it. Like it's almost like they forgot to filter it. I mean... Let's stick with the unfiltered. It might look weird, but if you're in a restaurant, right, and when you see somebody come over and pour it, it's in those little tiny little glasses, and you're in the environment. I don't think people are gonna go, oh, that looks like semen. It looks, especially if you're looking at sake, it could look like a tea with cream in it, right? I mean, there's nothing to say. I mean, you're just making up. That because it's like your first impression, but it is what it is, and I don't think it. When you go to a restaurant, having something pour out that color is okay. A little shocking.
Is it
here.
Kind of like a chai tea? Does it look like a chai?
You know what it is. It's not solid enough in color, though. That's what it. It's really the fact that it's semi-translucent, but yet not that in it's watery that it gives it that like.
Doesn't seem right.
Right, it's kind of got that non-rightness.
It's not transparent, but it's not totally creamy or
powdery.
Imagine
if you took some thin milk, like skim milk or something like that, and put some water into it to thin
it
out.
Let it separate a little,
and then throw a little,
and then have little bits of
like
stuff
something
in
there. Yeah, I don't know why.
Kind of on the path.
Yeah, then you're
sounds appealing, doesn't it?
No, actually, it doesn't sound appealing at all. did everybody get one of theirs in? Before I
yep, just, I think so.
So Then there's – so the last part of this that I was looking up was the hot versus cold versus warm. And in the in Japan, sake is served cold, warm, or hot depending on preference of the drinker, which is always key, the quality, which we've said, and the season. Very few alcoholic drinks that I can think of are served warm. Maybe Irish cream and coffee is the only thing. I can't think of any hard alcohol – red wine aside, and that's not even served warm. It's served at a, you know, at like a
brandy.
Consistent temperature.
Brandy can be brandy? Served warmer.
I was about to say brandy.
Is that it?
Brandy.
Brandy's
in the wintertime. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll go with brandy. Brandy is your very wintertime holiday style drink.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh, is it eggnog season yet?
Oh, and I heard that in Kate's voice. She likes it.
Yeah.
I do. Well, I love the holiday season anyway, but I like warm drinks.
I like the holiday season, but I don't like winter. So if it was just winter for a week, I'd be awesome. So yeah, but I can't think of a lot of drinks. So obviously, I think the season can make a big difference on how you're going to take your sake. I think even if it was a good quality sake, if you know it, like you know you're drinking a good one, and you have it warm, you're doing it because it's cold, right? You want to be warm. I don't think that takes away from. Like I don't know much about Japanese culture in that way, but I don't think that would be something you'd be like, oh, I can't have this sake warm because it's high class. I think it's just because you can turn a low class into better by warming it that you kind of get the connection. So wintertime, you drink hot sake. Cold, you drink, it's a good time in the summer. You could drink it, to mask the impurities. There was also something I read that said that in World War II, the Japanese drank a lot of sake warm only because it was roughly made sake. I mean, you're in World War II, you have a lot of troops, they're out in the middle of who knows where, and you want to give them something to relax them, you're probably just going to warm it up. They probably warm it up in an airplane engine or a truck or something, you know, so, or maybe over a fire. That's completely different, right? That's not the same. You're masking the impurities, but you're like fighting a fucking war. So I think they have a pass on why they might have done it that way. So the other thing our writer Eric had said is that they usually in Japan, since he was there, they were drinking it cold or at room temperature, except on cold days. And with cheaper sake, obviously, they warm it up a little to mask the harshness. So he kind of completes the whole thought about the impurity problem. So I think a general rule from what I've been gathering on the internet, it's warm. Warm is considered a bit above body temperature, unless it's premium sake. You could drink it at that. And that's what I have. My last one is... I would call it more room temperature just because I don't know. I didn't warm it. I didn't. How did you warm yours, Doug? Did you dip it in water?
Yeah, exactly. So I put it in the sake receptacle.
Oh, you have a sake receptacle?
Yeah, it literally looks like something you could put ashes in, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. So I put in that, and then I dropped that into a pot and then filled it up with water and then turned on the stove and let it warm up that way.
Okay, so that's the appropriate way to do it. That way you don't burn yourself. And I mean, it's like tea at that point.
Well, I mean, without the steeping, yeah I guess.
True. And my last one, what I did is – this is the Tozai Well of Wisdom. Totally awesome name. If I was to make one, this is the Ginjo Sake, the Well of Wisdom. It makes me think I'm getting smarter by drinking this.
You are getting smarter by drinking it.
Now, this one is...
Everybody misses out about alcohol. You always get smarter the more you drink of it. Duh.
What I've got is, this is a clear, this is a filtered one, I guess. Would you call it a filtered one? My last one is, it's a hint of yellow, I would say. It is filtered. It's nothing like these white ones. And it doesn't even look cloudy. Now, this one's 14 point something. Let's see. It's like a table wine. 14.9, 720 milliliters. I don't know what's with the blue bottles, like the off blue, almost purple hue bottles. I guess that's cool to do with sake. Now, on the back, it's kind of neat. Something I noticed with sake, and they probably do this just in the United States, but did you guys notice a lot of information? Like just
yes,
they go
yes.
through what it should taste like. This one even has a chart that tells you what premium sake is and what non-premium sake is. It has a little bottle with percentages. Mm-hmm. Now this one
will be confusing for you white devils trying this for the first time. So this is what you should expect.
This is exactly what I'm thinking. I wouldn't have put it exactly like that, but yes. Now this says it's a
you would have used filthy stinking barbarian. I know.
Now, Ginjo sake is the second best sake, so they say, with Jumai Ginjo being next best in class. This Tozai means east-west in Japanese and invokes the spirit of the alliance that created this special sake. Now, I don't exactly know what all that means, but I could tell you it says the flavor profile is rich, anise, long finish, and that's about it. It doesn't say, it doesn't have its plus or minus on here, but I found on the internets, actually I think Dave found it, said it's a 5.5. So it's a little dry. It's probably more like what, Kate, I think you had a 5 point something, right?
Yeah, I had a plus 5 and a plus 3.
This is the closest thing to wine I've ever had, considering I've only had 3. This is a, it's got a plum, a hint of plum, so I actually can identify a fruit. That's different. A hint of plum with the same undertones as the Niguro sake there. It doesn't look like it, but it still smells. Maybe that's the sake smell. It's got the body of like water, maybe a little thicker than water, not much syrupy. It's maybe a little thicker than water. Fruity. It does have a finish. This one doesn't just disappear. This is more like wine. It keeps the finish. It smells like it tastes. It's got the plum finish. Not very sweet. Definitely dries out the tongue, and it gives. I can see where they're getting a 5.5. Honestly, if you had a 10, I probably would find it okay. I don't think it would be that bad. So the dryness does not turn me away, which I thought it would. I thought maybe sake should be sweet. I don't know. I guess there's a reason they have a chart. Overall, I think this is the best of the sake that I have. I will drink them all, mind you. I'll put them in the refrigerator. Now, they said you're supposed to drink them fairly quickly, like, you know, as I don't know what that is, but I guess it follows the same rules as wine. If you don't drink wine, it's going to lose some of its flavor over time. I deal with it, whatever. I think that's okay. And now, I did notice every one of these has the twist-off metal cap. Do you guys have that too?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
I would have thought they would have been corked. Or
really?
I don't
Why?
Know. I don't know. Because it's like
Maybe
wine.
Because...
But even though I know wine is going... See, what I've read is that wine is going towards the twist-off metal caps because of production and actually doesn't taint the flavors like a bad cork
yep.
could.
Yep.
So I know they're kind of heading that direction. The problem is it cheapens the presentation. And maybe for sake, we don't have any concept of presentation because we haven't been drinking it since 1634 or whatever. So for us, we're kind of taking this on new, so maybe that's the way. Basically, it's the best way to preserve the wine. It just doesn't look very good. And for presentation-wise, it kind of looks like, you know, the Welch's fake wine. I kind of sum it up like that.
I think it's good for storage.
Yes.
And I think when you open a bottle of wine, you usually, you know, drink it. And when you open a bottle of the sake, I mean, this is going to take me forever to finish.
Well, my 300 milliliters won't.
Oh, really?
You bastard. Yeah.
Actually, what is the shelf life of sake once you open it? I have no idea.
They said drink it as fast as possible, but
like I was thinking one of the things about it is that hours. Cork is in wine so that it can age while still having the ability to breathe, right? I don't think they age sake in general.
No.
I don't.
I think it's more like beer in that I mean, it's made like beer. It's not made like wine. So I think that's an appropriate assessment is that you drink it like you would a beer. Now, the difference is beer, it doesn't come in 300 to 750 milliliters. So there's that. And, I mean, 14% alcohol, 720 milliliters. I can't drink this all in one night. I'd be dead.
Right.
Or at least I would have a hard time getting up tomorrow. Now, I'm already halfway done the Cloudy Dreams. Because you guys won't stop with your fucking cum pie. So.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. I see how this works.
Yeah.
Wait, but I'm the one who suggested this, aren't
you
I?
You are the one who brought it up?
Yes, you were. Well done.
Never had anything to do with it.
I read somewhere that you don't get hangovers from sake. Is that true?
I don't understand.
I'm not kidding.
No,
because it doesn't have the ingredient, the same sort of... Okay, I'm going to Google it.
Google it. I think, you know what? I would say...
I'm going to have to Google something, sigh. Like, okay, this is here we go. Such I got a pain it. In the ass.
Is sake better than other alcoholic beverages for your health? Beyond the normal pros and cons of alcohol consumption, note that sake is free from sulfites. It's also light and comparatively free of hangover-causing congeners. Is that how to pronounce that word? Congeners, C-O-N-G-E-N-E-R-S. Premium sake is free from additives and preservatives. It's C-O-N-G-E-N-E-R-S.
Congeners, yeah. Huh, whatever that is. I'd never
they,
heard
apparently
that.
They cause hangovers and sake doesn't have it. So.
Well, the thing with sulfites...
I'll tell you tomorrow morning when I'm at the Y.
See, here's the trick, okay? If I go back up here to...
I'm going
to
email all of you, and you're either going to be like... Get an email from Doug that says, oh, yeah, everything's great, or it's going to be come by.
hold on. All right. There's two places I found some good information, sake.com and esake.com.
And oh, son of a bitch.
I didn't say
hold on.
What?
No. The Shochikubai, that one.
Yep.
Oh, you are getting good at this.
a really interesting flavor that I can't place, and it's driving me freaking nuts.
Chicken wing. Does it taste like chicken wing? No. But, well, when you're thinking about that, the thing I'll mention is that I read this, and I'll read this one thing again. When you polish this stuff, it exposes the polish of the stuff being the rice, make it more professionally.
Not polishing off the bottle. That's different.
That's different. That's completely different. This exposes
or polishing your knob.
Right. Which you get the color flavor profile that we're talking about. This exposes the heart of the rice that contains the starch that will be converted to fermentable sugars. Thus, fermentable sugars is kind of leading me to think you drink enough of it, you're going to have a headache. Because it's the sugar problem. Sulfites don't necessarily make you have a hangover. They aren't good for you. And I mean, wine has the same problem. A lot of people they buy sulfite-free wine because it's better for you. It's kind of like buying organic, but not. And I think
that's like totally organic wine does not contain sulfites.
Right. I'm telling you this right now. If you go out and you buy three bottles of organic wine, red wine, pick any flavor you want. I don't know, Cabernet, Merlot, Pinot Noir, whatever. You drink three bottles of that and you tell me the next day if you have a hangover. Fuck yeah, you will. You're going to have a hangover. I think what they're just saying is, you know, that you won't have as much of one. I have a hard time believing that something that's fermented into sugars to make the effect that you're getting, which is producing this alcohol, is going to make you wake up completely fresh from a hangover. Now, I'm not going to try it tonight, mind you. So I can't. I'm not going to be a control group or an experimental group. But I don't know. I just think that you.
I don't
still
think that was the claim. I think it was just you're less likely to be hungover because it doesn't have all these additives and stuff.
That's true. I would say anything that you have that has less additives.
Be so black and white about everything.
I think it's the same as going back to the
stop being technical or factual.
Yeah. Don't be scientific.
What were you saying, Dave?
No, I was saying it sort of goes back to the whole Jose Cuervo Gold versus real tequila thing, right? If you're dealing with a more pure kind of thing, you're less likely to have badness occur.
Definitely.
But you know what? If you drink enough of anything, you're going to get sick and hungover.
You drink enough milk, you'll get sick and hungover. It just won't be a headache. You'll just be pooping. But with the Cuervo, though, it's different because...
What?
It's a lot of dairy,
Let's
let
that go.
He's
got a lactation fetish. Bear with him.
Hi.
Yeah, but the thing with Cuervo Gold,
an HAWT hot.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. With the Cuervo Gold, the difference is that you're getting grain alcohol as a substitute for actual tequila. I mean, for actual agave, right? They're mixing something in that's not just impure, but completely against the rules of the drink. Sake, at least, even if you add alcohol, they're sticking with, I guess even if you add alcohol, I guess enough alcohol will kill you, but they're sticking with at least some of the recipe. It's not like they're like, well, we're going to take out rice and replace it with grain alcohol. I don't think they make a drink like that. I guess if they would, I'd try it. Am I wrong here?
No, you're not wrong.
I don't know.
No, yeah, good.
I think it's just a different type of impurity. Does any
honestly, the thing that kills me about sake is it has all these odd flavors going on all at the same time. And they all taste familiar, but they're also in the wrong context. You know what I mean?
You don't know how to – you can't picture – you can't just spit out, this tastes like mulberries, or this tastes like blackberries or strawberries. You just – you're like, this tastes like fruit. I just can't picture what type of fruit. And that's why I was thinking coconut, and I don't know why. Maybe because the color?
Fuck. I just place – all right. So the Shochikubai, that one tastes like
– chicken wings.
Dude, are you hungry or something? What is with the chicken wings?
I don't know. Chicken wings. I am kind of hungry.
Yeah, I could actually go for some chicken wings.
It tastes like. Now I'm not going to be able to remember what it's called. It was Crystal Light.
Crystal Light.
It tastes like some odd Crystal Light, which is really interesting because it's like anytime any of these start tasting sweet, they taste like artificial sweet.
Artificial, yeah.
But they're not.
It really does.
Which is interesting considering the sugars are natural. I mean, they're
right,
they're
starch.
It's all pure, yeah.
It's opposite of what it should be.
See, and
maybe
here's
the
secret.
Of the context of it. Like you were
saying.
Maybe. Go ahead.
NutraSweet is wicked popular in Japan. And we just don't know it yet.
Or we need to send it there and make it super popular, and they'll be making sake out of it.
Exactly. Oh my god, they so need the pink packet.
Causes cancer in laboratory rats.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you like inject enough of something into yourself, it's going to be toxic.
Right.
So what the and at the same time, I'm going to go ahead and try to graft
an ear?
Extra ear on the back of my neck. Come play.
Oh shit. So the master. You
know. No, seriously, this shit tastes like Crystal Light. I finally placed it. I was like, okay, it reminds me of when I was like 8 or 9. I was in the Sandown house.
And that's when you first
tasted
Crystal
Light. Like this, and I was like, and then it was like the packets, and I was like, motherfucking Crystal Light.
See, that's so
weird.
Okay, so you just compared it to Crystal Light, and I think somewhere in Japan, a brewer just killed himself.
Right. or he's starting up a company called Crystal Light, and he's doing it in Japan. No, that's an awesome experience because it might not actually be, it might not be something other people can pick up on. Because you ever have like where you smell something and it shoots you back to like this, like something in your childhood. Like for me, whenever I smell like a fresh varnished wood or wood chips or anything like that. Since my father was an 18th century woodworker for 30 years, and he did the downstairs basement in this wood. It always flashes back to Mike Tyson's Punch Out because.
That's awesome.
Because we had the Nintendo downstairs. The downstairs was unfinished. The unfinished wood and some of the polish and the varnish. And we got it was Christmas. We got Mike Tyson's Punch Out and a couple other games. For some reason, I just picture all of us. Well, all of us not being YouTube because Doug was the only one that was there. And my neighbors playing.
We were there in spirit.
Right,
all four
exactly.
of us.
Exactly. In spirit, playing video games. And every time I walk into a new house or something, it's hard to not say something because everybody's going to look at you like you're a retard. But I'm always like, oh, this is totally like, what do I say? So I just kind of like hold it in, and this will be the first time I've admitted it. No, it's just, it's weird like how certain scents and smells can do that to you. Now for me, sake's done none of that. Like, I don't get that flashback for any of the flavors because that's the only way you're going to be able to pick up on any of these.
Yeah,
and the best I could do is that the Ginjo extra dry well of wisdom is the closest thing I can come to is Merlot. If I just drink it quickly without thinking, it's almost like I have an aftertaste of Merlot. That's the best I can do. That's the only one I can place. The other ones are super. They're a different sweetness that I can't place. They have fruitiness. I don't know. It's kind of fucked up, but in a way, it's a neat way. I'm happy.
Yeah, and I think that's at the root of really any type of drink, especially as you get older, there's always that olfactory recognition with memory, and it can always you know, kick in. Like some people, tequila, like the smell of tequila, had a bad night, puking.
Right, like me and whiskey.
No good.
Exactly.
Yeah, you and whiskey, or really anything with, like, which is a very unexplored topic on the podcast, which is that of the effect of memory and the olfactory senses with alcohol.
And I'm thinking, actually, that yesterday you were drinking a lot, right? There's got to be some reason. There's got to be some reason for this. Because, okay, I'm going to tell you guys a story.
Oh, my God.
This is awesome.
This is so sad.
So I get a call from Doug yesterday, and I didn't pick it up because I was at a restaurant, and my phone was out of service because this restaurant I go to, T-Bones, it doesn't have any service for T-Mobile there. So
that's retarded.
Eventually it kicks in. You know, you get like half a bar. Boom, it says I have voicemail. I can't check it, but it says I have voicemail. I get home and it's a voicemail from Doug. It's like, I check my home voicemail and know what it is. It's one of these, Derek, I'm going to call your cell. That's the voicemail of that, right? So I'm like, all right, that's okay. So fine, I delete that. Go to my cell, pick up the voicemail. Derek, call me. All right, is he dead? I don't know what's going on. So I call him. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, just eating lentil soup. I'm like, okay, that's good that you're eating lentil soup. What's up? He's like, hey, we doing a podcast tomorrow? I'm like, yeah. Do you need to get my emails? No, I didn't check my email. Okay, well, that's a problem. Well, yes, we are. So that was pretty much the long and short of it. Then he calls me today. He's like, so he leaves a message. So I guess we're not doing a podcast tonight, blah, 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 blah. And he talks about it. I'm like, what the fuck? I just talked to him last night. Call him back. Like, Doug, hey, we're doing a podcast. Oh, we are. Yeah, yeah. I remember we talked about that yesterday. No? And I was all confused. Like, for a second, a small glimpse of a second, I thought I might have called somebody else. And I was talking to somebody completely different. I didn't know what else to think. I'm like, yeah, Doug, remember you were eating lentil soup? And, you know, we talked about this. And I said, tomorrow night, 9? He's like, oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Right. I got a little retarded. Like, how do you forget that? And then after I have the phone, I'm like, how much pot did he do as a kid? There's got to be.
No. It wasn't that.
It wasn't the pot.
No, in no way, shape, or form.
Was it semen sake?
No, it was as a result of yesterday. I started my afternoon by going to the Big Boss Brewing Company's brew tour.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So technically, I started drinking at like 1:45.
You didn't sound so healthy.
So by the time you were talking to me,
you were half in the bag. You were whole in the bag. You were trying to find your way out of the bag.
There was no bag. Are you kidding me? At that point, the bag was like theoretical.
I didn't know it was wrong.
The bag.
I thought maybe, I'm like, oh, Doug's sick. Maybe he's going to call out of the next podcast. I thought there was something physically wrong with you. I'm like, oh, maybe he's just tired. I didn't think maybe you were fucked up.
Yeah, of course.
All right. Well.
Yeah, I mean, that's generally how I roll, folks, especially on.
This is what alcohol does to you. Don't let it happen.
Saturday. Yeah, definitely don't. I mean, I'm just so not the person to be a spokesperson for anything except for
sweet
liver damage.
Does anybody have any drinks left that we haven't explored?
Nope.
No.
Pretty much exhausted them at this point. I mean, not like we've exhausted the topic, right? But
yeah, I don't think we could complete the topic without having a lot more knowledge of sake.
Yeah, we don't really know anything, so that kind of limits what we're able
to do. It was like a little intro, though, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think what it comes down to, for me at least, is that I've had some that I've actually liked a lot, and I've had some that have been really vile, and I think they run the gamut. You know, there's a lot of different flavors that you can get, including Crystal Light or whatever the hell Doug's drinking.
Yeah, no, seriously, I got Bazooka Bumblegum in one and Crystal Light in the other, which is sad and interesting at the same time.
Yeah, you know what the big difference is, though, Dave? Well,
No, what's the big difference, Derek?
For somebody that has not drank or experienced sake, this is a good idea because they know.
No, it's
because they'll have an idea going in what to expect. And I think for us, it's for me at least, and I know only really me and Kate are sake virgins here, but I just like to say sake virgins. But I think that
I just like to say kanpai.
Oh, fuck. I've moved on to the dry one, actually. So I think that it's a good experiment. And unfortunately, I can't think of a lot of other drinks that we can do that would be this different that people here would have, I don't know, like a loss for words when it comes to describing what it is. Because we're so used to the ales and the lagers, the Merlots, the Cabernets, that and the Pinot Grigios, that you can kind of relate. But this is completely different, and maybe we just need to explore other countries, but there's not a lot around that's popular. This is really it. I can't think of another foreign drink that you go to the restaurant and you're like, hey, besides obviously Japanese and Asian beers, maybe we should do that sometime too. That would be different. But I think in that case, you're still going to have a relation to beer, so you're still going to be able to compare it to something. I can't really compare this to anything but wines. And maybe, like Doug says, bubblegum and you know, and Kate says cedar. It's just cool. It's a neat idea. I'm glad that we got an email from Eric that said, hey, you guys should try this. Because I know for a fact he's got to be laughing his ass off going, you guys have no idea what you're talking about. Now, I did a lot of
research. If we ever had an idea what we're talking about.
Well, no, but I did a lot of research.
Stop us from chatting away.
No.
Exactly.
But I mean, I did a lot of research because I wanted to go to the store prepared to know, like, okay, these are the brands. I got there. I'm like, all right, no problem. Going in, going to buy exactly what I want. I went in and I was like, oh, fuck. I have no idea what I'm doing here. So I'm looking for something to get while these freaking college kids are like, dude, let's get some of this other vodka over here, man. I'm like, oh, come on.
Did you think that there were more than you were expecting? More varieties?
There was.
Did you go up to the college kids and say, hey, man, get the cheapest hooch that you can and get a Brita filter?
No, I did not. You know what? College kids should learn the hard way just like we did. For varieties, they didn't have much. I bought probably, I would say, 30 or 40% of the things that they, maybe even more, 50% of what they had. They didn't have a lot of variety. And the Eric sent a whole bunch of brands. I picked what the only one they had there, which was the Geikikan. And the other ones I just started, you know, because I couldn't tell the difference between a brand and a style. And I just had what I had on my list. So I said, I'll just go with price because that's all I had to go on. And I think the same thing can go for people who have never drank wine and they want to experiment with wine. You go in there and, God, there's like 7,000 brands. You have the exact opposite problem. Not a language barrier, but a variety barrier. This was more of a language barrier. I didn't know what I was looking for. I think we did it justice. I don't see anything wrong with that.
No, but I mean, I'm sure that we could have...
You can always do better, but we're only human, Doug.
We'll do better next time.
Right.
Yeah, you might be only human, but
we can talk to Dave.
That.
Dave's superhuman with, like, powers
of... I prefer post-human, actually.
Well, yeah.
He comes one after humans are perfected.
The tone of voice.
Like, matter of fact. Duh.
Actually.
Actually, I'm uber human.
You do realize it gets hard of correcting you this much, but, you know.
We do what we can.
You're so patient with us.
Exactly.
Thank God somebody
like
is.
Like a child, you know.
Yes, like a child.
I will say that the Geikikan tasted the most like the hot sake that I've had out at sushi restaurants. The Shochikubai was very interesting, and the Momokawa one was by far the best out of the three that I had, which I would like to say to anybody that's listening to this podcast, if you've gone out to a sushi restaurant and have had hot sake, there is so much more out there as far as sake goes, you know, so it's a pain in the ass to get sushi takeout or to make sushi yourself, but in the event you have the opportunity to get good sushi takeout, go to your local wine store, get yourself some kind of different different kind of sake that you that you've never had before and try eating it with your sushi, because I honestly believe that some of these sakes would pair so much better with sushi out there than the shit sake that they're serving you at the sushi bar that you're going to, unless you're going to some high class place. But you know, I've been to every type of sushi bar around here and it all fucking tastes the same.
Okay, so that's actually good to know. So sake at a restaurant is like a house wine. You're just going to get whatever's on sale.
As far as, you know, what I've tried between, you know, like all fucking three varieties that I've had tonight, yeah, they all taste like the fucking Budweiser of sakes.
Hmm. This is interesting.
Oh, the king of
I thought it was interesting, too.
I will have to, because I'll have to go to the restaurant and see, because normally they have a hot and a chilled. They have both. So I'm
try the chilled.
Yeah, I'm going to try
maybe,
the chilled.
Maybe the chilled is the same as the hot.
Yeah, just it's probably chilled.
Cold.
Except colder.
Yeah, which means bad. But you know what? I'll give it a try.
We should put that on Wikipedia.
It is.
If anyone was confused.
No, I'm going to leave that off.
Chilled is like warm, but colder.
Citation needed. All right, well, does that wrap us up for this week?
Yep.
Potentially.
Potentially. All right, we'll call it. Anybody else have anything to add before I kill it?
Nope.
All right, this is Derek for Dave, Doug, Kate, our podcast producer, Luke Lidal, and all you sake
you
maniacs.
You just said kanpai.
Kanpai. Oh, hold on. All right, drink. Oh, yeah, that's good. You have just been buzzed by Everyday Drinkers. You can find us at everydaydrinkers.com. I've got a post out there already about a little history about sake. I think I can cover more now. I'll have to review these guys. And we'll see you guys next time. Talk to you later.
Kanpai.
Later.
Kanpai.
Oh, shit.
Kanpai.
Kanpai. Kanpai. Kanpai. Is that like drink the whole bottle?
That's like over 9,000 drinks.
Oh, fucking awesome. Alright. Here we go. Bam. Introduction. Oh, I don't have to read that part. Well, hold on. I got to turn down this volume a little. I just cranked it, and now I hear hiss. He's not letting me back in, little bitch. Come on! Dalian! Do it! Dave! Dial me back. Oh, he's being a prick. He's not dialing me into the conversation. Come on, Dave. Oh, there we go. You holding out on me?
Yeah, I like to get... I want to be a Skype tease. Dude, you just called Derek's mother a whore?
That's what I heard.
So,
her name's Kikinu.
Which is...
Dude.
You guys haven't said the cheers word yet. I don't remember what it is.
Oh, wait. I wrote it right at the top. See?
Kanpai. Oh.
Kanpai.
No, I said it. Drink.
Drink.
There we go. Been waiting.
Oh, all right. Yeah. that's the sound of awesome right there. But starchy wine.
Fuck.
Is it at all like when you were raped by that big motorcycle gang?
No.
Is it like that?
No, that's more like the other one because of the color.
I see.
Yeah.
So if you take a bunch and dump it in your face, does that become like a sake cocky?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Now oh. that is wrong. Oh, no.
I don't know. There's a throw it on my face and take a picture and post it joke in there somewhere, but I don't really know where.
Please, no. God, no.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't see them using that in their advertising campaign anytime
no.
soon.
That's wrong.
Yeah, just throw it on your face and take
a
picture
like
and post it.
Do you really like sake?
How much do you like it?
Kakisaki?
Take that, you dirty boy.
Oh, why not?
Do we need to go back to that whole semen looking thing? Or
she doesn't like semen.
Right. Well,
see,
that's for you.
Yeah. I was just gonna say.
No, it doesn't. That's the problem.
I'll try and have Luke cut that part out.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'll be in the evidence folder.
Yeah, you don't need that.
All right, so carrying on. I don't.
Okay.
I made an addition next to that, by the way. So.
Nope.
Don't say
Refresh.
It.
Refresh.
Here, I'll add a B.
You guys are awfully obsessed with.
What? That. What? With. Wait, yeah.
Look, just because you're used to it, we're not, okay? We're just trying to get over that part.
You guys live with it every day. Anyway, whatever.
All right.
Sometimes twice.
Yes, now.
3 days if you're feeling froggy.
Okay. Dave, speaking of, well, I'm not going to say it again. What? Tell me about your other sake you got there.